Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Morning, church. I want you to take your Bibles right away and go with me to the book of Philippians. We're going to be continuing in our series, Expositions, throughout this beautiful letter to the Philippians by the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to be, starting from verse 17 and going down to verse 21. Philippians chapter 3, 17 to 21. We're going to jump right into God's Word. Look at it with me. Philippians 3, 17 to 21, starting from verse 17, says this. Paul writes this: "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." Well, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture, and like I said, we're picking up where we left off last week, and I was talking to you last week from the words of the Apostle Paul about spiritual maturity. Before I jump in and begin to exposit this text, let me ask you a question. Do you want to grow in spiritual maturity today? Do you want to grow? I pray and I hope that each and every one of us is resounding in our hearts and with our response saying, yes, I want to grow. And the Apostle Paul gives us something of what we need to embrace if we are going to grow in spiritual maturity, and we need it today. So this is where we're going to start today. To grow in spiritual maturity, a few things for us from the Word of God today. To grow in spiritual maturity, I must, write this down, watch and learn. I must watch and learn. Look at it, verse 17. Paul says, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Something so important and something so overlooked in the Christian life is here for us in our text. The phrase in our text, "join in imitating me," Paul is saying to them, "join in imitating me." It reads actually, "be fellow imitators with me." And so lest we think the Apostle Paul is being conceited or puffed up, he's actually encouraging the church at Philippi to imitate him, to imitate his example. Listen though, as he imitates the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate goal being spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. Christ-likeness is the goal. On the screen for you in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says this even more explicitly. Notice it when he writes this: "Be imitators of me," here it is, "as I am of Christ." And so here is a beautiful exhortation. Paul says, "Watch my life. Watch my life as I look closely at the life of Jesus Christ." And we are going to watch the life of Jesus Christ together, but we need examples. We need to watch and learn. And so that's a crucial exhortation to us to be watching and learning from the example of other godly believers. But not only is this an exhortation to imitate the Apostle Paul as he imitates Christ, this is so critical. Watch this now. This is also a deeper exhortation to all of us to be continually surrounding ourselves with people who are on the same diligent pursuit of Christ-likeness. It's so, so important that we are to be continually surrounding ourselves with other people who are on the same diligent pursuit of Christ-likeness. Notice it in verse 17. Where did I get it? I get it from verse 17. He says this now in the second part. He says, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Now, the original phrase, keep your eyes on, it's translated even stronger, fix your gaze. Now, fix your gaze on those who are setting forth the right example, who are pursuing Jesus Christ with you. Now, this is such strong language that the Apostle Paul is using. And as good Bible students, we need to pay attention here. We should ask ourselves the question, well, what should necessitate such strong language? That we should fix our eyes on the example of others who are walking according to the ways of Jesus Christ. Why the need for such strong language? Well, the reason Paul uses such strong words is because Paul understands, listen to me now, Paul understands the power of influence. Paul understands the power of relationships. Paul understands that there are real spiritual forces at work all around us, and we are either being propelled towards Christ or we are being pulled away from Jesus Christ. And the people we are looking at, the examples we are following, are a critical component and factor in whether or not we are either being propelled towards Christ or being pulled away from Christ. In Paul's mind, the right example is crucial. It's absolutely critical. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 on the screen. It says this. He says, do not be deceived. Other translations say, don't be fooled. Watch this. Bad company corrupts good morals or good character. He knows the power of influence. On the screen, listen to the wisdom from Proverbs 13:20. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Look at Proverbs 27:17 on the screen. It says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. The words of the Apostle Paul come to us in our church with great practicality and great power. We are being called to something, yes, indeed, very practical and very powerful today. To fix our gaze on the godly example of other people with the ultimate goal of seeing Christ in them and growing in Christ-likeness together. Now, for the Philippian church, this would include people like Timothy and Epaphroditus and other faithful servants of the Lord at Philippi. What about us? Who are the godly examples in your life? Who are the godly people in our church that maybe we have lost touch with, but we need to fix our gaze upon, the text says, to learn from, to grow with, to progress in our journey towards spiritual maturity? I want you to be thinking about that. Who are those people in your life? Now, this week, I received a text message from a dear friend of mine, a friend that I view as tremendously wise, and he showed his wisdom and he showed his spiritual maturity by reaching out to me. And when he reached out to me, it came to me to delight my heart and to rejoice my heart. Immediately when he texted me to talk, I was so glad. I wanted to be around him. I wanted to look to him. I wanted to hear how he's progressing and processing some of the perplexing events that we're facing in the days that we are living in today. And sure enough, we got on a phone call and we talked and we engaged and we processed. And sure enough, I saw in him a godly example to follow. Sure enough, I saw in him an example of how to process through these tumultuous days that we are living in. Sure enough, by the end of that call, I was sharpened. I was instructed. I was strengthened. And I was reminded again of how much I need to be putting my eyes and my gaze on those who are walking according to the example of Jesus Christ, so that together we can join in imitating the Lord Jesus Christ and his example. Loved ones, we're living in a time that is so hard and so perplexing, and we're living in a time where it's very easy to be alone. And it's very easy to let months go by without even realizing that it's been months since we've connected with certain people in our church. Now, here's God's word for us today. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me. Here it is. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So I'm going to ask the question again. Who are those people for you? Who are those people? Now, where are those people? Where are the, I want you to think about this now, loved ones. No one can do this for you. No one can thrust you towards the example of others, but we are being called to keep our eyes on the example of others. Those who are, in fact, making it their aim to follow Christ and pursue Christ. Who are those people for you? Where are those people in these days? Loved ones, let me suggest there's no shortage of those people in our church. And as I look about in our church, I see so many examples that I can look to. Examples of people who are truly people of prayer. Examples of people who are truly people of the Word. Examples of people who truly understand their need for Jesus Christ and have prioritized their pursuit of Jesus Christ. And if you're watching this or listening to this right now and you feel like there's no one around you like that that you can set your eyes upon and follow Christ with, let me just say, there's no shortage of those people. Get around them. Fix your eyes upon their example so that together we can be following and pursuing the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, essentially, there is no growth in spiritual maturity without others around us and the examples of others to follow. To grow in spiritual maturity, I pray we are all taking this so seriously right now. We must watch and learn from others as others are growing in their pursuit of Jesus Christ as well and imitating his example. We must watch and learn. Secondly, this, to grow in spiritual maturity, I must, write this down, not only watch and learn, but I must carefully discern. Not only watch and learn, but I must carefully discern. Important question, carefully discern what? Well, the answer is right in the text. I want you to notice it, verses 18 to 19. Paul makes a shift now, and he says this, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, watch this, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul is doing here, something so important. He's making a contrast here between who we should be imitating and who we should, in fact, be discerning carefully so that we do not imitate. In fact, we avoid imitating. While we don't know exactly who the Apostle Paul is referring to here in this context as the enemies of the cross, we know that these people weren't opposing the Christian church overtly. They were, in fact, subtly making inroads into the church, which made them difficult to identify all the time. They were false teachers with a false gospel. They could have been the Judaizers who were adding legalism to Jesus Christ, saying you needed to observe the Jewish law in order to be saved, in addition to following Christ. But regardless of who they were, Paul is warning the church, listen, to discern them carefully. Because not everyone who claims to speak for God is truly speaking for God. And the reason we need to carefully discern is because their errors are often subtle and deceiving. It's subtle and deceiving. Now, if you're paying attention to the headlines at all, you realize that we're living in times like none other, at least in my lifetime. And you'll realize if you're paying attention to the headlines or your social media that there are a lot of ideas, there are a lot of beliefs, there's a lot of theology even, there are a lot of worldviews being presented and being offered and being celebrated as good and right, even within evangelicalism these days. But Christians, if we carefully discern what we're hearing very often, we may realize, listen to me, we may realize that a particular agenda or a particular organization or a particular movement or a particular worldview that we're being offered may in fact be opposed to the message of the cross, not aligned with it, but clothed in an appearance of goodness. Let me suggest to you that we're living in days that requires that Christians are carefully discerning. So I want to give us some clear biblical principles to guide us in our pursuit of spiritual growth and maturity. Because one thing is sure, loved ones, there will be no spiritual growth and no spiritual maturity as long as we abide in error. But spiritual maturity and spiritual growth comes only as we abide in truth. And so we must carefully discern. Two questions to help us carefully discern whether to imitate or avoid a teacher or a teaching that we are hearing. Number one, write this down. What do they really believe about the cross? What do they really believe about the cross? Notice verse 18, Paul says, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears," what do? "Walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." So I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul is offering a warning that there are some among them in the church at Philippi that are walking as enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is very important. Notice also that Paul is warning, watch this, with tears. So he's not, this is important, he's not being arrogant about this. He's not proud or smug. Notice it again in the text, verse 18. "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." I want you to take note of this. It is absolutely heartbreaking for the Apostle Paul that there are people who walk as enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Why is this important? This is important because it is so easy for the church of Jesus Christ to oppose false teaching with arrogance, with being smug, with pride, with a sense of, we got it right and how can you get it wrong? And while we should have a sense of righteous indignation towards errors, we should have a lot of tears when there are people that walk as enemies of the cross. Now, whatever the specifics of their false teaching, Paul is clear that at its core was a rejection of the cross of Jesus Christ. And this makes their teaching and their errors a big, big problem. I want you to listen to what Sinclair Ferguson wrote on the screen. He wrote this. He wrote, "The cross is the touchstone of both true doctrine and true practice. When we hear new teaching or when a preacher or teacher is given special prominence, we must always ask, what does he say or not say about the cross? Can they say with Paul, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world? Galatians 6:14. That is the test. Where the cross is denied or ignored, there we may begin to suspect enemies of the cross of Christ, however plausible they may seem at first. This is the test. This is the test that the Apostle Paul challenges us to discern. What do they really believe about the cross? And as Sinclair Ferguson notes, what do they say or not say? What are they not saying about the cross? You may say they haven't said anything really bad about the cross, but are they talking about the cross? Is that the centerpiece of their message? Because that is the centerpiece of biblical Christianity, and that is the centerpiece of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore that must be the centerpiece of every true preacher's message. What are they really believing about the cross? Number two, what are their fruits? Two questions to help us carefully discern whether to imitate or avoid. What do they really believe about the cross? Secondly, what are their fruits? Notice verse 19. Paul says, these enemies of the cross, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. So much truth coming our way this morning, loved ones. Pay attention. The word belly in the text in the original, it refers to sensual appetite. In other words, they live for themselves. They live for their fame. They live for their own pleasure. They live to satisfy their own cravings, whatever they may be. And while it's true that we can't really know what's in everyone's heart perfectly, Jesus said in the context of a warning about false prophets in Matthew 7:16, notice it on the screen, Jesus said, you will recognize them, how? By their fruits. And so while we can't know what's in the heart of human beings, Jesus says, pertaining to false prophets, you can recognize them. They're difficult to recognize. Earlier, Jesus says they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are disguised. They're difficult to recognize, but they are not impossible to recognize. Jesus says, you will recognize them. How? By their fruits. What fruits exactly? Well, right in our text, Paul shows us what we should be paying attention to. Let me give you a few things discerning the fruit of false teaching. Number one, is this teaching promoting selfish gain? It's a good way to assess the fruit of a teacher or a teaching. Is this teaching promoting selfish gain? Paul says their God is their belly. It's their sensual appetite that they worship. Self-indulgence. Is this teaching promoting, always promoting selfish gain? We got to carefully discern. Secondly, is sin justified, excused, ignored, or even celebrated in this teaching? This is actually happening, and if we're not discerning, we don't see it. It is what the Bible calls evil being heralded as good in this teaching. Paul says, they glory in their shame. Can I just tell you that if you just discern very carefully these days, You will see this coming up in so-called Christian churches and in so-called Christian teachings in these days. You will see sin being justified. You will see sin being excused. You will see sin being ignored. You will see sin even celebrated. They glory in their shame. That's actually happening in these days. A disregard and a twisting of God's word and God's truth, and glorying in shameful things. Is this teaching promoting selfish gain? Is sin justified, excused, ignored, or even celebrated? Thirdly, this, is there a preoccupation with earthly things like money, prosperity, physical health, success? Notice what Paul says. Their minds are set on earthly things. Is there a preoccupation with earthly things? Or is this teaching constantly lifting our eyes towards heaven, lifting our eyes towards a grander purpose, lifting our eyes not upon the temporal, but upon the eternal and what is spiritual? Is there a preoccupation with earthly things? That's what Paul says of these false teachings, of these grievous errors, that these people, their minds are set on earthly things. And these people cannot be Christians. Paul says their end is destruction. Did you see it there in the text? Verse 19, their end is destruction. And loved ones, there are people masquerading as Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world these days. And there are people promoting things and advocating for things and endorsing things, ideologies, worldviews, teachings, doctrines, but it's going to lead to their destruction. How do we discern it, loved ones? Well, we ask these questions. Is this teaching promoting selfish gain? If we look carefully and consistently, is sin justified, excused, ignored, or even celebrated here in any way, shape, or form? Is there a preoccupation with earthly things in this teaching? Pay attention, loved ones. Because if we are going to grow in spiritual maturity, if we are going to grow in our pursuit of sanctification, not only do we have to watch and learn from godly examples, as Paul tells us, but we must also carefully discern the errors that are being proliferated all around us. I was talking with someone this week who told me they just had to get off social media because it was just so discouraging. And I understand that. And maybe for you, you may need to consider the people you are listening to through social media or other avenues, because there are a lot of ideas, there are a lot of doctrines being presented that at their core reject the cross of Jesus Christ. We must, loved ones, watch and learn from godly examples. We must carefully discern those who come to masquerade as true teachers. That's so important. Now, one final note on this. It's really important for me to say this. Let's be careful, loved ones. Let's be careful never to label people enemies of the cross or label people false teachers just because they may interpret secondary doctrines differently than we do. This is so important. Now, there's a lot of misplaced zeal in the church these days, and many people are causing a lot of hurt and damage by doubting true believers just because they may disagree on a secondary point of doctrine or theology. Just because someone doesn't agree with every single thing you may believe doesn't mean they're a heretic or a false teacher. Careful discernment needs to also understand what are the fundamental non-negotiable doctrines of the faith And what are secondary doctrines that we can agree to disagree on in this life? In our careful discernment, hear me now, humility is paramount. Grace is needed. This is not a call to be paranoid or suspicious of everyone. This is a call to be prayerfully and humbly discerning with the Word of God in your hand and with our eyes together on those who are pursuing Jesus Christ and Christ-likeness. If we're going to grow in spiritual maturity, we must watch and learn. We must carefully discern. And finally, this. If we're going to grow in spiritual maturity, we must write this down. Wait and yearn. Wait and yearn. What am I talking about? Notice verse 20 to 21. Paul goes back now and says, but our citizenship is in heaven. So unlike the enemies of the cross, whose belly is their God, who glory in their shame, who have set their minds on earthly things, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Here, loved ones, I don't want you to miss it. Here, I believe we have one of the greatest marks of the spiritually mature Christian. What is one of the greatest marks of the spiritually mature Christian, or one that is growing, or one that desires to progress in growth? Here is the mark, a recognition of where our true citizenship is. Unlike the false teachers who have their minds set on earthly things, no, Paul says, we have our minds set above on spiritual things. And this is one of the greatest marks of the spiritually mature and those who are pursuing spiritual maturity, who understand while we are here on this earth, yes, we have work to do. We're not sitting around just gazing at heaven. When are we going to get there? Forgetting about the work we have to do. We have a mission here, yes, but our perspective is eternal. And our eternal perspective fuels our effectiveness in our current mission. Our citizenship is in heaven. The truly mature believer knows this world is not my final home. No, my citizenship is in heaven. Now, why is this so profoundly hopeful for us? It is so hopeful, and I pray that God fills you with hope right now, even as I say these things. It is so hopeful because we are, as Christians, as followers of the way, as followers of Christ, we are waiting for a Savior who promised to return for us. And when he returns, the text says, look at it, he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Just think about this for a moment. Sometimes we just, where our minds are consumed with what is earthly far too often, we don't think about the glorious realities of what the Word of God shows us. Think about this. When Jesus returns, Paul says he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. This is hopeful because if you're like me, as I get older, my eyes grow dim. My body feels more and more pain. But listen, on the day that Jesus Christ returns, loved ones, dim eyes will see perfectly. And oh, the beauty that we will see when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, muted ears will hear perfectly. And oh, the sounds that we will hear when Jesus Christ returns. Every cancer will be gone. Every virus will be banished. Diabetes and heart disease and back pain and sore knees. He will transform our lowly bodies, our broken down bodies. We will be transformed to be like His glorious body. We will be changed. But greatest of all, the sorrow of sin will be done away with. Why do we await a Savior? Why do we wait and yearn and long for a Savior? Because when He returns, all the sorrow of sin will be done away with. All the sorrow that we experience in our lives, the effects of sin, gone. Its presence, finally gone. Having been justified and fully sanctified, we will be glorified. This is good theology. This is what Paul is telling us. Guilt and shame and fear and anxiety and insecurity and pride and selfish ambition and lust and adultery and all forms of idolatry, the presence of sin all done away with, making way for total peace. Are you at peace today, loved ones? Some of you say, I'm not at peace. Some of you are wrestling with physical infirmities, and every day you wake up and you feel the reality that your body is lowly. Some of us are feeling the emotional pain of loss and grief, and we lament and we are tired in this life. Spiritual maturity says, that's not all there is. My brokenness and my physical infirmities will all be remedied one day. And my lack of peace, or my peace that is so often interrupted, it will be uninterrupted one day when Jesus returns. That is the heart and mind of the spiritually mature in this life. They wait and they yearn for the Savior, because when He returns, He will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body, and we will then experience peace, uninterrupted, unhindered, forever. All this, loved ones, the text says, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Jesus Christ, His power. Everything will be subjected to Him. All things will be made right one day. The spiritually mature person, the Christian that is on the pursuit of spiritual maturity, understands, this is my hope. This is my joy. This is what I long for. This is my prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. And so the question I started off with, do you want to grow? Do you want to advance in spiritual maturity today? Let's watch and learn together. Let's keep our eyes on those who have set their gaze upon the example of Jesus Christ, and let us not progress alone. We cannot. Do you want to grow? Carefully discern, oh loved ones, that we would be a church so wise, full of people who will carefully discern the things that we are taking in and hearing, even this message this morning, carefully discern it all. Do you want to grow? Lift your eyes. Jesus is coming back. Wait, anticipate, and yearn and long for His appearing. If you don't long for that today, just pray for that longing. God will fuel your faith, and God will strengthen your trust. And one day he is coming back, and that day is coming soon. And that I pray even right now, he will strengthen your longing for that day where we will all be transformed, our lowly bodies glorious like his, and we will be with him forever. This is our hope. This is our joy. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that we would be a people of true hope. That our church name is not Hope Church for no reason, but we are called Hope Church because we do have an eternal living hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, what you've done for us on the cross in your death and resurrection, and what will culminate in your return. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that our church would have our hearts set upon this beautiful hope. Oh, please, Lord, do that in us. Do that for us in our hearts even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.